throughout the 30-plus years of my pastoral ministry, I have spent many, many hours with individuals and families during times of great need, crisis, challenges, facing fears in the unknown. It happens in families' homes, in my office, in the emergency rooms and hospitals, in beds by patients at VMRC, or on another floor or hallway in the hospital. These are times of entering into a space and a time when I know sometimes very little about what I'm going to step into. I have very little time, very little information as to what it is I'm going to face. I don't always know how I'm going to handle it. And so I routinely do what I call a hold-up prayer, or for lack of a better term, a throw-up prayer. Well, there should be a better term, but that's exactly what I'm doing. For I don't know if what I enter into is going to be a time of deep connection where families are gathered who get along, who love each other, who are close, who are grieving and suffering and waiting. Or it may be families who are stressed and not always in the best of relationships. And so every situation is different, and some of these people have never seen or met before. But I enter into that space with God's hearing my cries beforehand. Walking to the hospital across the parking lot, driving the car, waiting in my office, sitting with a family around a table in their home. Those are the settings. Sometimes those situations are hopeful and positive. Sometimes it feels hopeless, and I wonder what's the next step? What is the next piece of this puzzle? I listen to stories. I hear the pain. I sense the brokenness. It can be a story of a new diagnosis, someone who received results from a test that was totally unexpected. It could be the story of someone dealing with abuse from their past and their childhood, or someone who is dealing with something really unhealthy in their present situation. It could be hearing the story in pain of challenges between parent and adult children, or that a marriage is unraveling. And so I sit and sometimes hold hands, sometimes pray a lot, read scripture, and wait. It's being present in many situations where I don't really know what to do. Being with them when they are hearing devastating news. Friday morning, I drove to Rutgersville and spent time with Dick Benner. He wasn't talking or able to articulate much anymore. He was weak, but he had anticipated my visit. He knew I was there. It was mostly a matter of being present to him in the quietness of that space. It was reading scriptures. I offered a prayer. His eyes were closed, and I didn't know if he heard or was listening or even knew what I said. When I got to the end, he said, "Amen." And as I was leaving, I knew this was going to be the last time I saw him. So I said some thanks, words of appreciation of what he has meant to me in my life, and to many people across our church, congregations, places around the country. And I said, Dick, I'm leaving now. I'm saying my goodbye and giving you my blessing. And I put my hand on his forehead and my hand on his wrist. And I said, may the peace of Christ be with you. And he gasped out, and also with you. I walked out of his room, his place there with Tim and Lisa, and drove home. It was a beautiful Friday, autumn morning. I had read, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, and there was beautiful mountains with all the color. And I released him, but the tears were rolling down my cheeks, and all I could think of was this song rolling through my head. You are all we have, Lord, you know. You give us what we need. Our lives are in your hands. Dick's life is in your hands, God. Our lives are in your hands. And I came home again. These times and experiences are painful. They're exhausting sometimes. And I have to struggle with how to deal with my own emotion and my own relationships with people that I am releasing. But more often than not, they are experiences and times of being on holy ground and in a sacred space, or as the Celtic spirituality talks about, a thin place where heaven and earth meet and you feel so very, very near to God. That veil between two worlds is almost non-existent. Time stands still. Boundaries fade away. You're in the presence of the divine. It's holy time, holy work. All of these times of being in sacred space and holy ground and a thin place, in those times, I am representing you. I am representing you, the faith community, the body of Christ, the face of Jesus in that midst, sometimes in the midst of chaos, in brokenness, in a storm, high stress, high anxiety, times of making decisions and saying goodbyes and releasing the saints. But I'm pretty sure that people, and many of them I've had experiences in that way with them, they would not want to be called a saint. I can hear it in the voices of some of them. I'm no saint. I can hear it sometimes in the voice of a parent or a child who's saying, well, we loved Grandpa dearly. He was a good person, but he certainly wasn't a saint. Not a saint. But these 13 persons are like us, ordinary men and women. Yeah. Who sometimes do extraordinary things. But ordinary, they're not perfect, we aren't. They made mistakes, they had flaws, yeah, idiosyncrasies, they failed at times. But they were trying to live and do what they could, and sometimes it was extraordinary. So today we remember them, these 13 and others. We honor them. We give thanks and acknowledge the impact of them on our lives, the imprint of them on our lives. And we know that it is not over. it is not finished. Who they were and how they impacted us continues on. So today, as we remember and honor and acknowledge the impact, we also do another thing. And this is what I'm asking in the last few minutes. I would like to ask two questions. How is it that we, the living, can be faithful witnesses? What are we called to do and be in our context as faithful witnesses? As an individual, how does that determine how I act and relate and what I choose to do and not do? How do I live that? But also, how do we do that as a congregation, as being part of a faith community? How do we be, how are we being a faithful witness in this place, in this community, in our conference, in the larger church? So those questions I want to have us look at briefly. And I think that question can be asked of everyone at any age and stage of life. So if you're 15, are you in college? How is it that you are living a faithful witness in your setting? On your floor, in the dorm, in your household? As you make choices about what to do and the next step, as you live with your parents or choose to move across the country? If you're young adults exploring what to do next, being a faithful witness, what will that mean? And what will that help you determine for your next step? Many of you here today are young parents with children. You have busy lives. So how are you being? What are you being called to do and be as a faithful witness, raising your children, working long hours, building your profession or your business, raising your children? What does that mean for you? And for the many who are listening and the many that are here that are in the empty nest and retiree stage, what does that mean for us? Living at VMRC or in with an extended family situation or on your own in a 50 plus community. How we live as faithful witnesses, I hope, would resemble people who do these things. And I'm giving a few examples of what I came up with. You work on your own list. But I would hope that we respect others. If we're trying to be faithful witnesses in our setting, I hope we can all respect others, whether or not we agree with what everybody says or believes or how they vote or how they dress. I would hope that we could search for the good in others. And I know that when I'm tired and frustrated, I tend to get negative, and I can soon start criticizing. I need to remind myself, I need to search for the good in that person. To be an encourager, not one who tears down or demeans, but one who builds up and encourages others. For some of us as extroverts, we might need to listen more and speak less. For the introverts among us, maybe it's a matter of finding your voice, discovering how to speak into something, a situation. As faithful witness, we need to be honest, authentic, people of integrity, and ask ourselves, how can we bless others? How can we give and share in this relationship, in this setting? Not what do I get from it, or what will it mean to me, but how can I bless? In my last encounter with Dick, I really felt like I offered him my blessing, but he blessed me. When I think about people in my life who were faithful witnesses, I think of people who reflected the goodness of God, who lived in a way that you could see something deep, a radiance, the face of Jesus in that person, to reflect God's goodness. And at the center and the core of who we are, it's the love of God, the light of Christ, which shines and radiates and draws people to us rather than sends people away from us. So ask that question and do it as a congregation, how we live and be and are called to a faithful witness. And the second question, just to put out there, I'm not going to answer it, but how do you want to be remembered? I am at participating many memorial services, and well, the older I get, I start thinking about, what is somebody going to say about me? What do you want to leave people with? You know, how will we be remembered? Does that give you a good feeling? Like, yeah. And if you're young yet, you've got a lot of years to kind of keep working and exploring and transforming and reforming that. But if you're 75, 85, you know, you're thinking about, wow, what are people going to remember about me? And likewise, the question, what will people remember? What is it we as a congregation want to leave? What's the impact of us as a faith community? Is it important that Parkview Church is here? So how will this congregation be remembered, and how is it even thought of today? I could give many more illustrations, and I'm thinking about people in my life who were faithful witnesses, but we don't have time. So you can do that work yourself. But today we honor, we remember, we celebrate lives, we give thanks for the imprint of these people on us, and we ask ourselves those questions of what does it mean for the living to be faithful witnesses, and how do we want to be remembered? Turn in the back of your hymnal to number 805, the prayer that we want to read together. Number 805. Let us pray. Eternal God, before you the generations pass. Your character is love. Your way is compassion. Your name is everlasting. Today we remember those who lived, labored, and loved among us. Because of their lives, we know better how to live. Because of their suffering, we find greater strength. Because of their death, we better understand what is important in life. We sorrow, but not as those who have no hope. We grieve, but not as those who center their thoughts on death. We sense loneliness, but not as those. We praise you, God, for light which arises out of darkness, for comfort which is constant in the midst of confusion, for hope which springs out of sorrow.
We thank you, God, for sending a Savior who says,